If you want to get your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2, we are going to be continuing our study of this book this morning, and we've got to make some progress this morning. I hate to try to rush through a study, but this is August 1st. We began this study in June, and we're only halfway through chapter 2, and I've got to be done with it by the end of this month. So you can already tell I'm way behind schedule. So we only have about 4 or 5 classes left to finish the book. But in James chapter 2, we are right in the middle of what's one of the key sections to the book. We have said that this book, the book of James, is very practical in its nature for Christians, and it very much is. It's sometimes called the gospel of common sense, the book of Proverbs of the New Testament, various names to show that there are a lot of things that we can take from this book and put immediately into our lives. And we're in this section. We started in verse 14, started this section last week in verse 14, where you start and you look at the last half of James chapter 2, and here's from verse 14 down through 26, a very detailed discussion of the relationship that there is between faith and works. And this is critical to the study of not just this book, but to the entire New Testament, and an understanding that man is not saved by faith alone. He does not become a Christian by faith alone, nor does a Christian remain saved, remain a faithful Christian, remain justified in the eyes of God by faith only. Bible says that faith and works must be working together in order for that faith to be acceptable to God. Now here's a book in the book of James that has a lot of practical things for us to put into our lives. Hopefully we're going to get into talking about the tongue this morning in chapter 3. But I've got to have more than just faith in the words that are said about the tongue in chapter 3. I've got to put it into practice. It's got to become a part of my life. When you get to chapter 4 and you begin looking at the discussion there about submitting unto God and resisting the devil and making plans only based upon the will of God, I've got to have more than just faith that I need to do that. I need to do that. Faith has got to be working together with my works. And so James would say in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, that we've got to be more than just hearers of the Word of God. We've got to be doers. It's not enough to learn the Word. It's not enough to have knowledge of the Word. And it's not enough just to believe it and have faith in it. We have got to be obedient doers of what God says. So look in James chapter 2. That's a brief review, an overview of what we're trying to look at. Let's start reading in verse 14. We got in our discussion down through verse 17 last time, but let's start in verse 14 and make sure we know where we are, and then see if we can finish this section. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, present tense, he keeps on saying, what does it profit if someone keeps on saying that he has faith, but he keeps on not having works? Can faith save him? What is the answer to those two questions? What does it profit if you keep on saying you have faith, but you keep on not having works? What profit is it? What use? What advantage? None. Can that faith save him? No. That's the answer. It's one of those questions that demands a negative answer. Faith without works cannot save him. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them, you say something to them, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Same question in verse 14. It's asked again. What's the profit? If you say, oh, you're hungry, you don't have clothes, okay, goodbye, be warm, be filled, what profit is that? What profit is that to them? Nothing. What profit is that to you? Nothing. So here are maybe good intentions, here are maybe kind words, but without actions coupled with them, there's no profit to it. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I want you to see how many times That conclusion and that truth is stated in these 13 verses. From verse 14 down to verse 26, you're going to see at least five times. You only have 13 verses here, but you're going to see at least five times where this section says, faith without works does not save. You saw it in verse 14. Can faith without works profit or save? No. Verse 17, faith, if it is by itself and does not have works, is dead. But, verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. James is supposing that someone would come along and say, well, you know, you might have faith and I might have works, or it might be reversed, but, you know, as long as we're strong in one area, that ought to be good. Look at how the inspired writer responds. Okay, show me your faith without works. Can that be done? And I will show you my faith by works. Can faith be shown? Can faith be known or shown without works? Not possible. And so James calls an idea out by saying, you cannot say you have works and I have, or you have faith and I have works, and that's sufficient. You can't have one or the other. They've got to be coupled together. We talked last week briefly, and just to make sure we have covered this, we talked last week briefly that some have pitted James in this section versus Paul in some of his writings, particularly in the book of Romans. Paul says in the book of Romans frequently, chapter 3, verse 28, chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 1, that man is saved or justified by faith. And then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, that by faith have we been saved, by grace have we been saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So Paul says that man is not saved by works, lest any man should boast. And then James chapter 2 says, faith without works is dead, it doesn't save, it's useless, it's profitless. So there have been some who've kind of pitted Paul and James against each other, and saying that they're either they must be contradicting each other, because one is saying we're not saved by works, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, and one is saying that we are saved by works, James chapter 2. So which one is it? Paul says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. James says if you don't have works, your faith is useless and dead. It's two different types of works. Trudy? It's only by the grace of God that we are saved. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says that we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. But the works that are being talked about, the works that don't save us in Ephesians 2, are those works of which man would boast. They're those works that man would consider meritorious, where I'm doing something in order that I might earn my salvation. And if I'm doing works thinking that those works are going to earn my salvation, are those works going to save me? No. And that's what Paul's saying in Ephesians 2. Lonnie and then Dirk. This whole section talks about the fact that the faith and the works have got to be coupled together to be effective. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, and in that chapter you read the phrase by faith, and then you read a person's name from the Old Testament, you will notice that every time you read about that person's faith in Hebrews chapter 11, what are you reading about their faith? You're reading about how their faith was put into action. You're not just reading about their faith. How do we know that they had faith? Because by faith, Abel offered. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham left, and he offered. There are action verbs that are coupled together with their faith. Otherwise, we don't know that these people even have faith. Dirk?
Paul's talking about faith, not
Well, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 is in the context and is discussing the grace of God. Is discussing in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that we were dead in our trespasses. We were in sin and we were dead. We were separated because of those. What are we going to do? What can man do? Gladys? Well, that's the section. That's the section we're studying right now in James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about the fact that man is was dead in his trespasses, and without God, without Christ, he's hopeless. He can do absolutely nothing. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but the grace of God, the mercy of God was rich towards us. And the mercy and the love that he had for us, what did we do to deserve the mercy and love of God? Were there some wonderful works, some great things that we did to deserve the mercy, the grace, and the love of God? Not a chance. So that's why he says, for by grace you have been saved. He said in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, if you go back up, what is it, the end of verse 6 or the end of verse 5, I can't remember which one, where it says the same thing, for by grace you have been saved. That's the whole context of Ephesians 2, that it's the grace of God that saves us, and our own actions, while they are necessary, and our own works, while they are necessary, will never earn or merit our salvation. What is the righteousness of mankind? What are the righteous acts of God, or no, what are the righteous acts of mankind in the eyes of God? Say it again, Lonnie. It's as filthy rags in the eyes of God. We think we elevate ourselves to a point we think we can be so good and so great, and yet we can't. We don't deserve salvation. That's all that Paul's talking about. Not all, but that's the context of what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2. And therefore, it's Jesus who has reconciled us back to God, is what he says in Ephesians chapter 2 about verse 15. By his blood, by dying on the cross. Come to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, James is talking about works. And these works are works of obedience. These are works where man is obeying the commands of God. You say you have faith and I have works. Okay. How do we know? Faith is evidenced by obedience. How can man possibly... Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21? Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. What does the word does mean? I'm doing something. I am obeying. Who is eternal salvation offered to in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9? Eternal salvation is provided by Jesus to all who obey him. Faith without obedience is useless, profitless, and dead. And so here in verse 18, James 2 and verse 18, that faith and works have got to be working together. Look at verse 19. You believe that God is one. You believe that there is one God. You do well. That's commendable. Does everybody believe that? Does everybody believe that there is one God, that God is one? James 2 and verse 19, obviously not. But even the demons do believe it. And they shudder at the thought. They tremble at the thought. Why is James bringing up the demons? Why is he bringing up their faith in this discussion? Dirk? They've got faith, they believe, but where's the obedience? It's not there. Are demons saved? You know, under inspiration, James chooses the perfect example to say, here's someone who has faith and they're not saved. Who is it? Demons. They believed to the point that they tremble, that they shudder. The word means that they've even got the hair standing up on the back of their neck. They're so convinced of it. They're not saved. There's no obedience there. Yes, that can be stated that But the two are tied together. You know, that you cannot be saved, you cannot become saved from your sins initially, nor can you stay saved from your sins long term as a Christian, unless there is faith coupled together with obedience. We've got to see that from the standpoint of a non-Christian. A non-Christian can have faith, but if that faith is not coupled together with works of obedience, that faith does not save him. Here's a Christian who's had his sins washed away, but if he stops obeying, if his works, if his faith stops working, is he being faithful? Is he still abounding in the work of the Lord? It's not happening. Verse 20. Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That's the third time he said that in this section. Was not Abraham our father? Wait a minute. I thought Abraham was known as a man of faith. Isn't he called the father of the faithful? Isn't he esteemed as a man of great faith? Isn't he held up in Genesis 22 as the man who took his own son, the promised son, and was ready to offer him? What tremendous faith he had. But did the Bible ever say that he was exalted in the eyes of God based upon faith only? No. Was not, look at what verse 21 says. Was not Abraham our father justified by faith? Is that what your Bible says? That he was justified by faith when he had faith in his heart? Is that what you got in verse 21? Raise your hand if that's what you got in verse 21. Because you got a funny Bible if that's what your Bible says. When was Abraham the father of the faith? When was Abraham the great man of faith? When was he justified? When was he made right? When was he put into a right relationship with his God? He was justified by works, James 2 and verse 21. He was justified by works when he offered his son on the altar. That's not what we think about. We think about Abraham's faith, and we think about that being that which saves him. But God says that faith did not save him until it was put into action, until it obeyed. He was justified, made right in the eyes of God by his works, out of his works when he offered up his son Isaac. Do you see, verse 22, that faith, Abraham's faith, was working together over and over with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect. Tasha?
It seems like a living faith.
Yeah. This is not about doing good works, as Tasha says, in order to be seen of others. This is a heart that is full of love and faith in God. And when your heart is full of love and faith in God, what did Jesus say? If you love me, what are you going to do? I want you to we know that verse, John 14, 15. If we truly love the Lord, what is that just naturally going to lead us to do? To do what He says. So if I'm not keeping His commandments, if I'm not doing what the Lord says, back the train up then. What does that show about where I am? What does that show about my heart? What does it show about my love for the Lord? What does it show about my faith in Him? If I have chosen not for my faith to be working and not to be obeying God. Verses 21 and 22 about Abraham are verses that we need to know are in the Bible in James 2, because what happens, and what Martin Luther did 500 years ago and many people after him have focused in so intently on Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4 about Abraham and his faith, and have pulled that out and tried to show that Abraham was justified by faith using Romans, when James, in the very next verse, in verse 23, James quotes the same verse from the book of Genesis that Paul quotes in the book of Romans, and James ties it together to say it was not just Abraham's faith, but it was his works coupled with his faith that justified him. Joe? Okay. You're over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We're in James chapter 2, and the reason I believe that he was justified by offering his son Isaac, because James chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" When he did what? God tells us in James 2 and verse 21 how Abraham was justified and when Abraham was justified. Do you see it? He was justified by works. When? When he offered his son Isaac. But what about verse 23? The scripture was what? The scripture was fulfilled. What does it mean when scripture is fulfilled? Scripture says something and then scripture is fulfilled. What does it mean when it says it was fulfilled? Proven true. Came to fulfillment. Came to be true. James 2, verse 23. What scripture? The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That scripture was fulfilled when Abraham's faith was coupled together with his works. Where is that verse, James 2, 23, where he quotes that? Where is that from? Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 says that Abraham Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Paul quotes the same thing in the book of Romans. James says, when was Abraham justified? He's justified by his works when he offers up his son Isaac. Now, was that the first time that Abraham had obeyed God? It's when he offered up his son Isaac? No. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Go back a couple pages in your Bible. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, and this is where Joe was. Hebrews chapter 11. Talks about down in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who has received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Concluding verse 19, that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now back up to verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. By faith Abraham... Remember what we said about the faith of these people in Hebrews chapter 11? Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered. Verse 7 says that by faith Noah prepared an ark. And here's by faith, verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Was Abraham offering his son Isaac, was that the first time that he had obeyed God? No. So it's interesting, on the one hand, to look in Genesis. When did Abraham leave in chapters in the book of Genesis, in the chronology of the book of Genesis? Genesis 15:6 says that that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15. When did Abraham leave? When did Abraham, Hebrews 11 verse 8, when did he obey God and go out of the place where he was living in the book of Genesis? I'll put it this way, was it before or after Genesis chapter 15? It's before. So Abraham had already obeyed God before Genesis 15:6 says that it was accounted to him for righteousness. He had already obeyed God. But James, in James chapter 2, draws in what happens in Genesis 22. where he offers up his son Isaac. And James looks to that event in Genesis 22, and he says, in that event, the scripture in Genesis 15 was fulfilled in that Abraham's faith justified him when it was working together with his works. And the end of verse 23 says what? James 2. The end of James chapter 2 and verse 23 says that Abraham was called God's friend. He's called God's friend. Why? Because he had great faith? Because he believed God? He's called God's friend because he did what God said. And isn't that what Jesus said? If you flip the chapter around, isn't it John 15, 14? 14, 15 in the book of John says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is it 15, 14 that says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you? You flip the chapter and verse around 14, 15, 15, 14. So if Abraham was called God's friend because he obeyed God, how can I be called God's friend? Jesus says it in John 15, 14, by keeping his commandments. Lonnie, did you have your hand up? Right. Well, when Abraham offered Isaac, it was not the first time that his faith was put into action. It was not the first time he obeyed. It was not the first time that his faith was coupled together with works. Absolutely. But it's that event that under inspiration, James pulls out and says, Abraham is here and not just justified by his faith, but he was justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac. And so the conclusion in verse 24 is what? It's the same conclusion he made in verse 14, verse 17, verse 20. He makes the same conclusion in verse 24, which is what? If you have faith, but it's not together with works, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. There's only one verse in all of the Bible that has faith only or faith alone together. And what does it say? Does it justify a man? Does it save a man? It does not. A man is made right in the eyes of God out of his works, out of his obedience. Now, in our minds, we've been so saturated with denominational doctrine that makes us uneasy. We've been so saturated with denominational doctrine that says we're not saved by works, that says that works don't have anything to do with our salvation, that when we read something like James 2 and verse 24 that says we're justified by works, we immediately want to say, oh, whoa, 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 this is what it means. What does the verse say? We don't have to justify what James 2 verse 24 says. We don't have to try to explain it away to counter or to soothe denominational doctrines. What does the verse say? Man is justified by works. Now, be careful. Does the verse say that man is justified by works only? No. But nobody's claiming that. Well, I mean, nobody in here, we're not claiming that. We're not saying that a man is justified by works only, because that's not what the verse says. Does the Bible say that man is justified by faith? Romans 5 and verse 1. Does the Bible say that man is justified by faith? Yes. Does that verse say that man is justified by faith only? No. So if the Bible says that man is justified by something, unless the Bible says this is the only thing that justifies him, why would we conclude that? If Romans 5 verse 1 says man is justified by faith, if James 2 and verse 24 says that man is justified by works, which one is it? It is faith working together with works. Trina says faith is an outward, or works are an outward manifestation of our faith. If you believe in God, think about Think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, this great chapter on faith, where the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can we please God without faith? But then that whole chapter is talking about faith that is coupled with obedience. Can we please God with a faith that has no action? Oh, sure, God, I believe in you, God, and I believe in your Son, and I believe He died for me on the cross, and I believe that I need His blood to wash away my sins, and I believe that that there is a heaven and that there is a hell, and I believe all of it. But if I never do anything about it, I can believe that all day in my heart, but if it never moves me, what has my faith done? It hasn't done anything. And then in verse 25, here we've had the high example of Abraham, someone that was and still is esteemed highly for his faith in the Old Testament. And then in verse 25, he brings in somebody else. Would you put Rahab on the same plane as Abraham? If you were to make a listing of the great characters of the Bible, great characters of the Old Testament, who showed tremendous love and faith and obedience to God, where's Abraham going to be on your list? Top two, right? Where's Rahab going to be on your list? Where is the prostitute, the harlot Rahab? Where's she going to be on your list? Oh, boy. Is she going to make your list? I mean, if you start making a list, are you going to think, oh, Rahab? God did. God chooses two examples to prove that faith coupled together with works is what justifies a man. And He picks somebody that's on the top of your list, and He picks somebody that you wouldn't even think about. Of course, she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, too, isn't she, about her faith. She's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, isn't she, in the genealogy of Jesus, go figure. By faith, here's Rahab, verse 25. Likewise, just like Abraham, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? When, notice, we've got the same words that we have down in verse 21. Abraham was justified by works. How was he justified? By works. When was he justified? We're told how and when Abraham was justified. We're told how and when Rahab was justified. Justified by works, when she did what? Two action verbs. She received the messengers, action verb number one, and she sent them out another way, action verb number two. When was Rahab justified? By her works. Did Rahab have faith in God? When those spies, in Joshua chapter 2, when those spies got to Rahab's house, had she ever heard about God before they got there? Yep. Did she know about what God had done for Israel before those spies got to her house? Yep. Did she believe? Here she is in this foreign land, this foreign city. This city's about ready to be destroyed. By the way, why was Jericho destroyed? Because they got in God's way? Because they got in God's people's way? Because we needed a good story in the Bible about walls falling down? Why was Jericho destroyed? Because of their sin. Not for any other reason than the judgment of God was coming upon these lands and these nations and these people because they had turned against God. That's why Jericho was destroyed. Not so that we could have a good story that we could teach our children about marching around walls, but because the judgment of God was coming against sin. But why wasn't Rahab then? I mean, come on. Couldn't there be somebody who is a little more, you know, upright in lifestyle than Rahab in the city of Jericho? Apparently not. Why was Rahab, of all the people, why was she saved from Jericho? Because of her faith that was coupled together with her works. Do you think Rahab was the only person in Jericho who had heard about God and heard about what He had done for Israel? If Rahab had heard it, and if she had communicated these things unto the spies when they got to her house, Surely there were other people maybe who had believed it, but they didn't do anything about it. Here's Rahab. When was she justified? She was justified by her works. So then, verse 25, 26. As the body without the spirit. Here's my body. What happens when I die? What happens when death comes? There's separation. The word death means separation. The wages of sin is death, separation. The body without the spirit. When this body dies, what happens to the spirit? Does the spirit die? No. Spirit returns unto God who gave it. When the spirit separates from the body, spirit doesn't die, the body dies. The body without the spirit, the body, it's dead. So then faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. At least five times in these 13 verses. You have James saying in verse 14, can this faith without works save him? No. You have in verse 17 where he says that here's faith and which by itself, it does not save. When it's by itself, it is dead. You have him saying in verse 20, faith without works is dead. You have him saying in verse 24, faith by itself, it's works that justify and not faith only. You have him saying in verse 26, that is the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works dead also. At least five times, James emphasizes and repeats this point. Remember, this is a very practical book for Christians. A book that's intended for Christians to take and to put into practice in our lives. Well, what does that mean? That means I've got faith. And by faith, I'm not just a hearer of the word, I'm a doer of the word, chapter 1. By faith, I don't show partiality. I don't show favoritism, the first 13 verses of this chapter. I don't show favoritism towards other people. Because by faith that has led me to see everyone as God, try to see everyone as God sees them. And I wanted to get into chapter 3 today, needed to get into chapter 3 and talk about the tongue today. But why as a Christian do I need to control my tongue? Because I have faith in God. And that faith in God leads me to be different from everybody else that I'm around. And it leads me to put into practice the faith that's in my heart. Yes, Gladys. Yep, yep. There's a lot of people out in the world who would have Christians to not have works coupled with their faith. They'd like them to have faith, but just be quiet and don't do anything with that faith. We don't want to see it. But God says you got to have the work, you got to have both of them, and they got to be working together to be accepted in His eyes. All right, read James chapter 3. We're going to cover that entire chapter next week.